Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Block Talk Radio studio right here in the heart of Hudson County. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you the three-time, and I will say it again, the three-time award-winning Politically Direct. And I am New Jersey's premier journalist and top 100 Latino in 2021 via the Latino Spirit online magazine, Fernando Uribe. I want to welcome you all here tonight, the 29th of April. Yes, folks, month is wrapping up here quicker than we ever expected, obviously, as we're trying to get back some sense of normalcy here in 2021. And certainly it's great to have you listening from wherever and however you may be doing so throughout the Garden State. I'm trying to tell my friends throughout the U.S. of AA. Now, you can write to the show's inbox, folks, at any time. politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. If you have a question for me, want me to read on the show, or any feedback about the program itself, maybe suggestions for guests or topics coming up, I love to hear from you. Again, write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Now, don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj. I'm just getting back to sort of updating that page there on Instagram, so I do appreciate your patience. But you can also check out my own Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe, tons of new followers, plenty of likes, and I know many of you enjoy my Instagram stories, whether it's about pro wrestling, sports, politics, one of my rants, motivational quotes, motivational memes, or I don't know, I'm just sort of thinking out loud. I know many of you tune into my Instagram stories, so I do appreciate that, so definitely check it out there. And also hit me up on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, @NoFilterUribe, once again, @NoFilterUribe. U-R-I-B-E. Same thing. Very happy about the new followers and tons of likes. So I'm grateful for that. And for all of you Facebook subscribers, please take a minute, ladies and gentlemen, and check it out and like the page, of course. You know, just look up Politically Direct with Fernando Uribe and tell your friends to do the same. It's great to be out of Facebook jail now in the month of April, and certainly, you know, not trying to cause trouble, but, you know, all eyes are on me, as they say. You know, I am trying to be a little careful and judicious in terms of what I'm posting. But who knows? Let's hope another suspension is not coming anytime soon. And most importantly, folks, I want to hear from you tonight. So do call in 818-572-8032. Again, toll-free number tonight, 818-572-8032. I'll take some calls later in the show. We have just a great guest coming up in just a few moments. You want to stick around for that. As always, our toll-free number is brought to you by Insider NJ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just be very clear. When we talk about the leader in political news and the top political website in the state of New Jersey, folks, it's Insider NJ. There's no dispute. There's no debate. I understand people might have their favorites. They might read other things. And it was interesting today, you know, reading on my email, I believe I got it. Let me just pull it up here because I wanted to talk about it on the show real quick. But getting something earlier today, I believe, from NJ.com, and I just thought it was hysterical to me. You know, obviously NJ.com sending out emails to people. It says, you know, please support the journalism you can rely on. Support quality local journalism. Folks, that's not NJ.com. Sorry. It's not, you know, and I know that the Star Ledger is associated with NJ.com. That's just not the case. So, you know, when you talk about supporting real journalism, folks, it is Insider NJ. You definitely want to check it out by going to www.insidernj.com. And certainly once you click on the website, you will see the little button on the top. It says subscribe. And once you do that, you'll be subscribed in the morning intelligence briefing. And when you open your email in the morning, let's say you're watching, I don't know, I mean, I'm the type of guy that I watch the sports shows in the morning. So I'm watching Fox Sports 1. I'm watching First Things First. I'm watching Undisputed with Skip and Shane. I'm watching The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Occasionally I might turn on ESPN and sort of have to endorse the Screaming A. Smith and Dumbass Kellerman on First Take. But regardless, I'm going through my phone and I'm going through my email. And when I do, I see the morning intelligence briefing waiting there for me. And again, ladies and gentlemen, it's the best journalism in the state, best columns. It gives you the best perspective of what's going on in New Jersey. And I'm proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team. So I want to thank the Graham family, specifically Mike Graham, for his ongoing support of this podcast, as well as my Insider NJ GM, Pete O'Nelia. I know sometimes they don't like me to drop their names on the air, but I'm grateful to them. You know, this podcast has been on the air since January of 2018 here on Block Talk Radio. And, you know, they've supported it. They've dealt with a lot of the grief. They've dealt with a lot of the vitriol that comes with this program. But I thank them for their support and really, you know, just believing in this show. So I'm thankful to them. And again, I work with a great group of men and women at Insider NJ. It's so, like, you know, I've played organized sports forever. So I'm very much a proponent of the team concept. And, you know, the bottom line is that it's, you know, for me, it's, let's be fair. You know, you like to work with great people. Now, you don't have to always get along. You don't always have to, you know, be on the same page. But the bottom line is that these are people that, you know, are great at what they do. Again, it starts with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro. You know, I don't like his politics. I don't like his views. I know he doesn't like mine, but he's an exceptional journalist. I have to give him credit where it's due. Same thing with Jay Lassiter. Great, you know, journalist. I don't care for him personally. I don't care for his views at all. I know he feels the same about me, and that's been confirmed, but he's a great journalist. I have to admire that. I got to respect it, and I work with great people. Again, in addition to them, Fred Snowflake, great columns every week. Alan Steinberg, he drives me crazy, but great journalist. So I'm proud to be a part of the Insider NJ team, folks. Definitely check out Insider NJ, the best journalism in the state. Once again, www.insidernj.com. And certainly you can check out replays of the podcast, as always, at insidernj.com/podcast to tune into that. And remember, folks, to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Now, the opinions and views expressed here tonight and every week on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, staff, or our sponsors. Folks, again, it's great to be with you here tonight to close out the month of April. And I'm excited about May. It's my birthday month, so I'm a Taurus, so I'm excited. And I know many of you are as well for tonight's broadcast, because joining me live here tonight is the distinguished candidate running for the State Assembly in the 21st Legislative District. Folks, again, if you're at home, put your hands together and clap real loud, because here tonight on Politically Direct, I get to talk to Miss Jennifer McCarr here on Block Talk Radio. Jennifer, how are you?
Hi. Thanks for the introduction. How are you?
I'm great. How's everyone? How's the family? Everyone's staying healthy. How's everybody?
Yeah, everyone's great. You know, speaking of May, we actually are celebrating our Easter. I'm Coptic Orthodox, so we celebrate our Easter this Sunday. So a lot of prepping in our house this week.
Oh, a lot of good food then. Family and food. That's quite a good thing, right?
Yeah.
To get all that together. Well, great. Well, Jennifer, again, I thank you for coming on the podcast, and certainly I want to thank the powers that be that helped schedule you on the podcast. So a shout out to them. Obviously, I don't want to name drop on the air. I want to make sure, you know, I want to be respectful here, but it's great to have you on here. And so for our audience tonight that maybe are not aware, it's an election year. There's a lot of dynamics and moving parts here. All 120 legislative seats are up for grabs, all 40 state senate seats, all 80 assembly seats. But in the 21st legislative district, it's a little unique. Obviously, there is an incumbent state senator that's running, and obviously we'll have some people that he's running with. But it's a little different for you. You're running for state assembly or to represent the Republican Party on primary day. But what makes the 21st legislative district in this race so unique?
Well, I think that we're all running as Republicans, and, you know, I'm a little bit different just because I am the only minority on the ticket. So I feel while there's, you know, people who are running that are great, I think that, you know, representing the community, I'd be a better fit.
Jennifer, are you still with us?
I'm still here. Yep.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. Yes. I thought I lost you there for a second. Again, folks, it's technology. I apologize for any interruptions. They happen sometimes, so bear with us here. Again, Jennifer, I didn't catch that last part. If you could just repeat that for our audience. My apologies.
Yeah, absolutely. So the difference here in LD21 is that, you know, what's unique about it is that I'm the only one on the ticket that is a minority female. And I think that is, it's a good thing that I'm running against someone who is, you know, also great, but we just need a little bit of diversity in the district and who represents the constituents.
Well, it sort of begs the question, Jen, because when people run for office, and again, I applaud you. I ran for state assembly 10 years ago, and I knew how challenging that was. And, you know, at the end of the day, when we see people running for office, it's because, especially challenging those that are already in office or looking to get, you know, elected. I mean, this isn't calculus. It's not trigonometry. It's not AP physics. It's not difficult to understand. It's very clear that when someone decides to run, they're not happy with the current representation. Now, I know you'll take the high road here, but what exactly makes you a better choice? Not just as a Republican, but more so just as a potential assemblywoman in the 21st legislative district.
So I think that I really represent our community. When I was going out and getting my signatures, I had to go door to door. And, you know, I got to meet a lot of great people. And, you know, throughout the whole process, what I saw in common with everyone was that they don't feel represented by their party. So I think what I would bring to the table is that I know what's going on in the community, and I'm one of them, and I'm just an ordinary person. I've never done politics before. I'm not a politician. And I think that we need more people to step up in that way. Everyone has a part to do and everyone has a role. And I just feel called to be doing this. And I feel a calling to step up and, you know, represent my community.
Now, one of the interesting things about sort of the legislative map in New Jersey, and it really depends on the district, but for example, like where I live in Hudson County, so it's a lot more densely populated. But you look at the 21st, and for our audience tonight who maybe are not familiar, they include municipalities in Morris County, for example, so such as Chatham Borough mm-hmm. and Long Hill Township. In Somerset County, mm-hmm. they include Bernards Township, Far Hills Borough, Warren Township, and Watchung Borough. And in Union County, they include, I mean, and this is a big chunk here, Berkeley Heights Township, Cranford, Garwood, Kenilworth, Mountainside, New Providence, Roselle Park. So for anyone that's familiar with Route 22, for example, I mean, that's a big chunk there. As well as Springfield, Summit City, and Westfield. This is a really, really diverse district. Not just, I mean, culturally, but I think also economically. I think you have some very sort of affluent towns, and then you have some sort of working class towns. Is that fair to say, Jen?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you. I think that, like, the way it's divided up, it is a little bit odd, but at the same time, I think we all have some of the same concerns. Taxes, education. We all see that there's a lack of representation in those areas. And while we're all different in, you know, the cities that we live in, and I believe the, you know, the cut-up will be, you know, divided again this year or this coming year. But, you know, as far as, you know, representation goes, this is something like, you know, where taxes are a big thing and, you know, things happening, you know, at the Capitol, like are just, we all have the same concerns.
And when we, again, and we'll get to some policy in a moment because I'm a big policy nerd, as you probably know, or you've seen me on my social media. But now this is, this is where the rubber meets the road here, because at the end of the day, when we're looking at candidates, Jen, we're looking at who best represents people and policies that make sense. And I was talking off the air with a few people. I was talking about this on Monday night on my Real Talk show, and as well as other shows I did, where I'm just concerned because, you know, I get a lot of grief online as probably being one of the few, if not maybe the only conservative journalist in New Jersey that's really out there and isn't afraid to sort of be braggadocious and defiant. But this is my thing that I get a lot of grief for, and my answer is always the same. People say to me, "Oh, Fernando, we read your social media. You're always coming down on Democrats. You're always being very harsh on liberals and progressives and the left." And my answer is, well, guess what? When Republicans have some majority in the legislature, which they haven't had in 20 years, and they can have a say in policy, then that's when I'll get on Republicans and conservatives. But in the meantime, with again, folks, again, for our audience at home, you know, these are the majorities we're talking about. We're talking about 25 to 15 in the state Senate. We're talking about 52 to 28 in the assembly. So Democrats have a staunch, I mean, they have an overwhelming majority. They can sort of ram through whatever they want. And I think when people say, well, Fernando, why is New Jersey in such bad fiscal shape? Well, guess what? It's one party running the legislature, which A, runs the budget for 20 years. That's why New Jersey's becoming a dump. And I say that all the time without fear. What are your thoughts in terms of what Republicans maybe need to do to help make the state better? I mean, obviously it's winning seats, but it's beyond that, right?
Yeah, I think we just need to really get out there. We just need to be part of the communities, you know, more just listening to what the people need, what small businesses need, and, you know, really helping them out and really, you know, supporting their, you know, the lack of representation with each community member. I think each person is important. And I think that, you know, stepping up and being able to stand up to people in Trenton, that's really important. Policies are going to change constantly, but, you know, we just need to hold account. The people who are in Trenton, they need to be held accountable for what they do. And, you know, they're still getting their paycheck no matter what happens, you know, throughout like any situation that we go through, any emergency or pandemic or whatever, they're still getting paychecks. But other people are struggling and having problems. So they need to be held accountable. And I think that's what a real public servant is. And, you know, the Republicans just, you know, both sides are, you know, equally bad at doing at policies. But at the same time, we just need, you know, which side has better views on the, like, American dream. And I think that the Republicans stand firm on, you know, less government. And I think that that's what we need to focus on right now, is keeping the government where it is, you know, in check, and let the people decide what they want to do with their own lives.
You know what? Fair enough. And those are great points. And folks, if you just joining us right now, it is 9:20 here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to have on the program tonight Jen McCarr, who is running for State Assembly in the 21st Legislative District, again, exclusively here tonight on Politically Direct. Jen, you mentioned the idea about smaller government, and that seems to be a concept that's oblivious to people in Trenton. It seems like growing government is a novelty that, you know, Democrats have really gotten good at in New Jersey. And you see it with inflated budgets, and every year the budget continues to get higher. And while I have my issues and policy disagreements with Governor Murphy, this is a problem that precedes him. I mean, it happened during the 8 years of Chris Christie. It happened during the 4 years of John Corzine. At the end of the day, I mean, the culprits or the people you have to point your fingers at is the legislature. And I want to just make it a pick on Democrats evening here on the podcast. But those are the people that, again, are, you know, going through the budget. They're the ones running numbers. They're the one. I mean, not in an illegal gambling way, folks. So again, don't misrepresent what I'm saying, folks at home. All right, but they're the ones that are sitting there and going through what spending we should be engaged in. And it just seems that Trenton has become tone deaf for many years. So from a policy prescription wise, so
I just want to say something. Yeah, I think that it's not only like people making laws or the assembly or whatever. It's a big part of it is lobbyists that are, you know, really pushing in for what their agenda is. And I think that we need people to stand up to them as much as we need people to, vote the right way or, you know, propose the right legislature. So I don't think the blame should be on only one group. I think that we need to look at where they're basing their decisions on. So if they're basing their decisions on a group like the NJEA, I think we need to see what their agenda is and why they're pushing for certain, curriculums to be, taught in schools or for certain taxes to be raising or whatever it is. But that I think that's something we also need to do is stop. And I don't mean you specifically or any one group. I think that generally speaking, instead of pointing fingers, why don't we just come together and talk more and have more conversations on mutual grounds? So as much as I agree with how you are blaming the Democrats or whoever and whatever it is, but I think that let's just look at, you know, the best for everyone and the best for the people who don't feel that New Jersey was, you know, the place that they grew up in. So, I mean, I don't feel that New Jersey. I feel New Jersey now is like what you said and like a total, it's becoming a dump. I mean, New Jersey is so beautiful. And I just think that let's continue to work together or, you know, start working together on, you know, policies and let's listen to what the people are looking to accomplish and their goals. And, you know, everyone wants to live peacefully and with whatever, you know, small business they have or a job. And let's just think of them first before shutting down an entire state. And, you know, while you're getting your check, they're not getting any money. So I think that,
great point.
chime in on what you were saying.
No, great points there, Jen. And certainly I really like the harmonious tone you're taking because it is important. We need to have a dialogue. I mean, we're living in a political climate that's very tribal. It's as simple as that, whether it's nationally or even in New Jersey. And I think coming together and having conversations is important, especially along policy lines, because it just seems that, you know, and I really like your point about the influence of lobbyists and sort of activist groups because, you know, a lot of these groups tend to be very, very, very ideological. And they find a way somehow to influence policy. Case in point, I was just talking about this. Actually, as a matter of fact, I'll be talking about this on the air Monday on Real Talk because coming up on Saturday, May 1st, New Jersey will be the latest state in the country to offer driver's licenses to illegals. And I've been going crazy about this since it was passed. And again, I'm the son of immigrants, so, you know, I don't want anyone to be at home saying, oh, well, Fernando's whitewashing this. No, I'm not. I'm the son of immigrants. I understand the immigrant struggle. I understand, you know, my mom left communism. My dad left a bad economy in Colombia. Okay, so I understand the struggles of leaving your homeland, coming to learn a new language. I understand this, all this. But, you know, we also, I think what's happening in New Jersey, and it's been enabled by a very liberal progressive governor and also many liberals in the legislature, is thinking that this is good policy, for example. And that's due to largely because of activist groups, organizations that, you know, protest in front of the Capitol building in Trenton or go and have marches and rallies around the state. I mean, they're very influential too. So I'm with you on that. Speaking about policy, obviously, you know, we know that, and I think there's a story published in NJ Spotlight a couple of months ago that the average property tax bill in New Jersey now has increased again. And pre-pandemic, it was at $8,953. Now today, in 2021, it stands at $9,112. Jen, it seems like this is always a talking point every election season about, well, you know, yes, we have the highest property tax in the country. We need to get that lower. It just seems that every election season, it gets weaponized, it gets talked about. But at the end of the day, people just sit around, and again, no disrespect to people at home, but it seems like legislators are sitting on their asses in Trenton, twiddling their thumbs, and nothing gets done.
Yeah.
What can you share with our audience about sort of the initiative you want to take about addressing property taxes in New Jersey? Because, again, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with how insane they've been hyped up. Like, and it continues. It's never going to stop if we don't, you know, propose something different or, you know. What I really want to say is something that I think constantly about. I think constantly we hear words from everybody. You know, we hear words from politicians, speeches, whatever, and all they talk about are things that we just want to hear. They never say anything edifying or useful or, you know, actual methods. So, I mean, I don't understand why we let them get away with it. We let Trenton get away with just talking about, you know, things like lowering taxes. Why don't we just lower taxes? I mean, we spend billions of dollars in, you know, infrastructure or whatever it is. And I think that we need to focus on what the people really need. Unless, you know, we want to see, you know, everyone immigrate to or migrate down south. I mean, if they're going to, everyone's already planning on going to Florida. We've had tons of people already leaving New Jersey. And it's mainly because of our taxes. We can't live on, salaries are just going basically into taxes. We need the right policies to go into Trenton and figure this out. And we need to do it as soon as possible.
I'm with you. And listen, I absolutely agree. And I really like the approach that you want to take. Should you be able to get to the State House, and I think that, you know, you would certainly represent the district well based on what I'm hearing here and based on sort of like the initiative you want to have. But then at the end of the day, too, obviously it's not just also, as you mentioned, about taxes and budgeting and spending. You know, we're still living a year and plus still into a pandemic. We know it still adversely has affected New Jersey. And we'll get to the governor in a minute because obviously making news this week was his decision to reopen the state more conveniently now after other states have, and that still deserves some scrutiny, but we'll get to that in a moment. What have you seen from talking to people in the 21st about the struggles that residents still have a year plus later into COVID, whether it's unemployment or the lack thereof and having access to it, or just the resources available to people in the 21st legislative district? You know, what are you seeing, and what do you think could be done better to address it?
Well, first and foremost, I think that how our small businesses are suffering, they just need to be allowed to be open, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think they are, you know, people who we forget how much they provide to the communities, and we just need to stand by them and support them. So, I mean, whoever is listening, I personally would say right now is stop going to these big box people or companies that are just ruling like the country and start using the small mom and pop shops and supporting them and building them up. So, I mean, whoever is listening, I think that's number one. We need to get these people back up into business and support them in any way they need. So then that includes reopening 100%. We can follow the example of Florida and how well they've done. And I think that besides the opening the businesses, I think that we need to stop mandating things, stop mandating the masks, stop mandating vaccines. Universities need to accommodate to people who can't get vaccines. Certain people with whatever illnesses or women or whatever it may be, they just can't get the vaccine. So we need to stop mandating things and start focusing on our medical freedoms. So I think those are just like big ticket things that we need to focus on right now. And then, you know, trickle down to the, you know, other issues that seem to be affecting people individually as far as, you know, getting their like unemployment checks. I'm not sure how long it took, but I think it took a while for them to get that. in the initial phases of everything closing down. So I think why did it take so long for them to get their checks? We don't know. We need to find answers and then get the people their right amount of money. So those are just, you know, issues that I would tackle first and foremost.
And listen, they're vital, especially as so many New Jerseyans, thousands of New Jerseyans are still struggling. You mentioned
yeah.
about some of the guidelines that the governor has enacted since last year. And listen, I'm intellectually honest enough on this show to admit that early on, listen, at this time last year, we did not know what was going on. We were still learning about this virus. There were people obviously just passing away due to the sort of high infectious rate. And I think early on, I think a lot of people were saying, I think on both sides of the aisle, politically and ideologically, that the governor had to make some tough choices. But the problem, though, is that since then, the governor, I would argue, and again, this is just the policy nerd in me, it seems like the governor, unlike, and I hate to weaponize or politicize, excuse me, a virus, but it seems like blue governors like Murphy and Cuomo and Newsom and others, you know, didn't go about it, I think, as smartly as red governors such as, you know, Greg Abbott in Texas and Ron DeSantis in Florida, where it should have been a regional approach to tackling the virus, not sort of a one-size-fits-all model, which I think Governor Murphy adopted. And we've seen, because of that error in judgment, I would argue that now we've seen businesses close down forever that have been staples of the state of New Jersey. And we're seeing New Jerseyans still struggling. And I think sometimes if we're going by science, well, then the Department of Health, and the problem is that the governor put those people in those positions. So it's not like they're independent. I mean, they're all appointments. It seems like the DOH, Jen, has done New Jersey a huge disservice here when it comes to science. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm just trying to remember things that happened in the past year, and I clearly remember people in the city, you know, all the restaurants were closed, and then all of a sudden, you know, people were coming into like Hoboken to have dinner or whatever, and then going back home. So, I mean, how is that not, you know, preventing the virus from, you know, spreading or whatever? So, I mean, I clearly remember a lot of illogical things happening and decisions made solely on politics and not necessarily on, you know, medical evidence or, you know, the science. Like, they keep saying follow the science. Well, let's follow the science. People who are qualified to answer the questions and not politicians who really don't know what, you know, is happening right or left. So, yeah, I agree with you, and I think how it went about was just more of a politicized type thing. Not to downsize or say that it wasn't a real virus or, you know, it wasn't a real situation. I know plenty of people who have you know, passed away or been affected by the virus, but at the same time, I think that, you know, we just went about it completely. Speaking of New Jersey, I just think we went about it in the wrong way. I think we could have done way better. I think we could have saved more lives. I think Murphy needs to address what happened in nursing homes. And I think that we need to hold politicians accountable. Again, I'm going to repeat it as much as I can because they need to hear it and they need to hold up they need to be held accountable.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And it just seems, you know, in terms of the governor, though, Jen, that, listen, I'm, you know, by day I'm a history teacher, so I'm very much a fan of history. And we know that history is not on the governor's side because historically a Democrat has not won re-election in New Jersey since Brendan Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
That's long before our time. It's going way back. Democrats have not had a good success rate in terms of repeating as governor in New Jersey. But yet, though, it seems like Governor Murphy keeps dodging bullets, whether it's, for example, the Edna Mahan Women's Correctional Facility that's been in the news lately and why there's no accountability there. It seems like when it came to the Katie Brennan situation and those allegations of sexual assault by a staffer working in the administration, and that also went under the radar. It just seems like the governor And even now, like, the media in New Jersey, whether it be NJ.com, whether it be, you know, NJ Spotlight, whether it be NorthJersey.com, and I'll even say, too, and I might get in trouble for this, even some of my own colleagues at Insider NJ, they have not taken the governor to task on this. And it seems like he's just deflecting bullet after bullet. And it's kind of annoying and frustrating, to be honest, because if we both know that if it was a Republican governor that was having this much going on during his administration, the liberal media in New Jersey would be absolutely crucifying him. I think we know that to be true.
Yeah, I think why hasn't he been held accountable? I mean, I think that, any, like you said, any other governor would have been, you know, felt the obligation to address every single issue. I think that while we need to address every single problem that, you know, went wrong in his administration, we need to have people come in and sort of be able to tell us how they're going to fix it. So whether that be a Republican or a Democrat, I hope it's not, and I hope it is a Republican that comes in, and I'm going to say that bluntly. I just think that we need to really focus on what their strongholds are and how they're going to fix all the issues that Murphy couldn't fix.
Well, and again, I mean, and we'll touch the gubernatorial race in a moment, but getting back to your campaign here, you know, again, we look at the 21st as a really unique district. Again, it's split across three counties. And, you know, right now, even during this pandemic, my goodness, you know, we're seeing the reality that so many small businesses have died out. And again, the governor just hasn't been really consistent. I mean, it's okay for Walmart to be open and Target. I mean, nothing against them. I shop at Walmart and it's fine. I try to shop at small businesses because I want to support them during the pandemic. But the bottom line is that it just seems like going to Walmart's fine. But when it comes to gyms and other type of businesses, which I would argue are probably much more instrumental for health, the governor's been very draconian on them, and the governor has been harsh on, you know, how to assemble or what to do. I mean, case in point, this week as he, you know, announced he's reopening the state at a more accelerated rate because COVID metrics are down, you know, the governor sits there at a COVID presser, talks about, well, you know, proms coming up will be allowed, permissible, and people can dance, you know, at proms and banquets, but you can't dance at bars and restaurants. Like, what? Like, who are some of these idiots at the DOH telling this to the governor? That makes no sense. So I think people are growing increasingly frustrated with, okay, if you're, again, if you're citing science.
The contradiction, yeah.
Exactly. It's really frustrating, right?
Yeah, I mean, I ask myself constantly, like, why can't I go to Costco and I can go to the little store next door to me, and there's probably never more than five people in the entire store. So why is it that I can, you know, eat dinner, you know, in a hut, but I can't eat dinner inside the restaurant? Why can I? It's just, all of it is very illogical. It doesn't make very much sense. And it seems like there's something, and I don't want to seem sort of like a conspiracy theorist, but it seems more like they're out to get these small businesses. And, you know, big corporations have like a lead or some sort of, you know, voice against the governor and, you know, Trenton. So, you know, a lot of things don't make sense. And I think that we need just, you know, one or two people to step up. Just, you know, maybe like our friend at the gym down in, I think it's somewhere in South Jersey, but, a few people need to step up.
Yeah, Ian Smith. And,
yeah, I think what he's doing is great. So I think, you know, the more people step up, you know, the more people that say, I don't want to wear a mask, it doesn't make, we know a lot of, you know, problems with constantly wearing the mask. So why are we forcing people, especially people who do have issues, why are we forcing them to wear a mask? I'm not going to wear a mask. And if you have a problem with it, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to have a conversation with you. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to wear a mask. You can, you know, I've been out there and I've been telling people that we don't have to wear masks, and it's unnecessary. And it's more of like a method or a tool of control. And it's not what it's meant to be. And, not only that, and I feel like the same thing with the vaccines. Stop forcing people and stop shoving it down my throat. I don't want to get it. It's as simple as that.
Well, listen, I'm with you on that, and I believe that a lot of New Jerseyans also, I think, are very leery, Jen, about – and listen, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not trying to – I agree with you. I'm not trying to engage in conspiracy theories here or anything, but you know, I'm very hesitant, you know, and I joke around about this with people where, you know, I mean, I've lived in New Jersey my whole life. I live right across Manhattan. I've partied in New York City forever. Partied down the shore, and I'm pretty much, if I've survived partying at DJ's in Belmar, and I've survived Las Vegas, and I've survived clubs in New York, and I've survived staying in hotels down the Jersey Shore and walking through some of these establishments over the years, I don't know. I think the CDC should be studying my blood, because I think I'm okay. I think COVID's the least of my worries probably over the years. But in all seriousness, I think that these are things that we really have to address. And I think a lot of there are pockets of New Jersey, though, Jen, that are staunchly against the governor and staunchly against a lot of Democrats in the legislature. And it just seems that there isn't enough Republicans in both the state assembly and the state Senate really making noise. And again, I don't want to sort of smear anyone, because I've interviewed a lot of them on this show and on my other shows. But case in point, you know, I look at state senators like Michael Testa and Anthony Bucco, as well as Joe Panaccio. I mean, these are state senators that I've talked to on my show exclusively, and other assemblymen and women. But it just seems, I would argue, that I think Republicans, and I'm not auditioning here, in case the NJGOP is listening, I'm not auditioning to be an operative, so don't take this the wrong way, folks. But it just seems like Republicans need to get louder with this message of, like, enough's enough. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to reality and normalcy.
Yeah.
But I think we can be smart, but I think we also have to be savvy at the same time. And it just seems like that is not something that's prevalent in Trenton, Jen. How do you see this?
Yeah. So, you know, like I mentioned this before, like when I was going and talking to people, and I was doing a lot of it in like the areas where there was lots of businesses. And it seems that, you know, they want to, a lot of people were just fed up with the party that they were in. So I was forced to carry these party affiliation forms. And a lot of people were switching over from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. And I must have filed close to like 60 or 70 forms, because people just were fed up. And I think that they are waking up. They're waking up rather slowly, but they are waking up. And I also believe that this election, we keep on hearing that it's a major election. It's major steps happening for New Jersey. And we're going to see that. And I believe, and I see it already, that people are waking up. And it's not just, you know, people who were affected by the pandemic. And it's just people, you know, ordinary people who have seen what has been done. And they are waking up. I mean, in my community specifically, we were, you know, we really woken up with the whole educational curriculum that was forced down the throat of, you know, millions of children in New Jersey. So I think that this is something that has really, you know, sparked something in many different communities. And I think that we're going to see something really spectacular coming this this fall.
All right, well,
it's gonna be good.
That's
news.
Great. No, well, that's good to hear. And folks, again, if you're just joining us right now, it is 9:45 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to talk to tonight Jennifer McCarr, running for State Assembly in the 21st Legislative District, right here, joining us exclusively on Politically Direct via Insider NJ. Jen, you know, very simply, I think this is a question. And folks, I do see some people on hold. Folks, be patient. I'll take some calls in just a few moments. I just want to make sure I give as much time to our guests tonight. So again, I appreciate everyone holding on the call queue here. I see some people on hold. Again, I appreciate it. Stay on. I'll get to you in a moment. So don't go anywhere. Jen, what type of Republican are you?
A very conservative one.
Well, when we talk about conservatism,
I am not a moderate.
Okay. So
I am strictly on the side of the least amount of government possible.
Okay. I mean,
that's basic.
I think,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a registered independent, but I've always leaned Republican. I've always leaned because of just being conservative. But I think in New Jersey, and this is what's interesting, because I think that, and I was talking about this off the air, and I'll certainly ask you. I mean, I think that there might be sort of a transformation right now within the Republican Party in New Jersey. I mean, there are pockets of the state, Jen, very, very simply put, that are still very much having an affinity for the 45th president. And there are some Republicans in New Jersey that have said, you know what, we just have Trump fatigue. Let's move on from this. Let's move on to sort of reinventing the party here in New Jersey to something different. Now, again, it's just, there are pockets of the state. I mean, up here in Hudson County, North Jersey, it's very different than down the shore. It's very different than South Jersey, maybe even Central Jersey. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm a conservative along economic lines. I'm a staunch, very religious, fiscal conservative. But when it comes to social issues, you know, New Jersey isn't Alabama. New Jersey's not Missouri. New Jersey's not, you know, South Carolina. Yes, you know, Democrats outnumber Republicans registration-wise, but there are still pockets of the state that lean conservative. Do you think that sort of, like, let's say, social conservatism, can that still work for Republicans in New Jersey, or is it about maybe being moderate when it comes to some social issues?
I'm going to speak personally and say something that probably could get in a lot of trouble, but I think the real, you know, conservative Republicans here in New Jersey are not the ones that tend to vote on a regular basis. So maybe they're the ones that vote every 4 years. But like I said, I think that the ones, they're the, also the ones who are, you know, on the side of waking up to what's going on, and they don't want to see what happened in their, you know, maybe their home country or something like that happen here. So a lot of these people, like my community where my parents, you know, legally came here from Egypt, and a lot of my community in my church, same situation. They came here from Egypt, saw what happened in Egypt, and they are slowly seeing the same thing happen here. So they don't want to see that happen here. So those are the people that are really going to change how New Jersey votes this coming fall. And if people think that they're not awake and they're not going to be participating in the election, they've got a lot coming, because this is going to be completely different. And whoever wants to, you know, get elected, they need to reach out to these communities. They need to reach out to the minority people of in each, you know, in each part of their districts, and really talk to them, because they're the ones who are fed up, and they're the ones who know what happened in the past in other countries, and know where this country, know the value of this country, and know where it could go wrong. So in that sense, I believe that, you know, New Jersey really could go either way. You know, a lot of people say that, no, New Jersey will never be like fully conservative, and they're, you know, they remain moderate on certain issues. I don't believe that. I think that, you know, parents want the right to parent their children, not the government. I think that taxes have become, you know, such a huge issue that people are just so tired of hearing just all this talk about lowering taxes, and it's not happening. You know, I think that there are other issues across the board that, you know, New Jerseyans are suddenly becoming more, you know, aware of. And, you know, a lot of it is the minority people, you know, our minority, you know, brothers and sisters that are, you know, witnessing a failing state. So I think that, you know, we're going to see a big shift this coming fall. And it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be something that I look forward to.
All right. Well, I hope so, too. And I'm optimistic as well. Folks, again, we appreciate you, for those of you that have been on hold here. Jen, you want to take some questions on the air?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Folks here, again, I'm just going to punch up on the screen here. Again, be brief. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and just keep it respectful and keep it brief here tonight on the show. Try to get to as many callers as we can here. So let's start off with a 908 area code. All right. You're here on Politically Direct with Fernanda Uribe and Assembly candidate Jemma Carr. What do you have for me tonight?
Hi, I'm calling from Jersey. And I'm actually also Egyptian. So I was wondering, how do you compare the riots that happened in 2020 in America to the 2011 Arab Spring in North Africa?
Okay.
Hi, thank you for your call.
And what's your name, by the way, bro?
Abe.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Again, stay on the line. You can keep listening to the program, and I appreciate your question. Jen, what do you have to say?
Hi, thank you, Abe. I really appreciate that phone call, or that question, rather. If the callers don't already know, my ethnic background is Egypt. I was born in New Jersey, but my parents, you know, came here from Egypt. And back in 2011, when Egypt had its revolution, there was a lot of similarities to what happened here with George Floyd. So if you don't know, in Egypt, there was a young gentleman who was, you know, who was arrested, and he died in the hands of the police. And, you know, that's where the Arab Spring happened, where a lot of people were going for this defund the police, you know, I guess protests and, you know, sanctuary cities and things like that. And we witnessed the same exact thing happen here. And, you know, I think that it's not something new when people say defund the police. It's been happening in other places, and we need to look at the similarities. And I know, Fernanda, you're a big fan of history. Well, we haven't really looked at what happened in other countries and similarly to what happened here. So we need to really stand by our police rather than call for a defunding of police. Let's be more supportive and educate and just, you know, spend more money on our police. I think that, you know, what happened in Egypt and what happened here in America were very similar, and we need to stay focused on the solutions and look at the different opportunities of where we can improve and learn from history. So that's a great question, and I think that we need to be supportive of our men and women in blue.
You know what? Well said. Well said, Jen. Let's take a few more calls here. I see 201 area code. Okay, again, keep it brief. Keep it respectful. Let us know your name, where you're calling from, and what you got for us tonight here. So, 201, you're on the air with Fernanda Uribe and Assembly candidate Jemma Carr. What do you have for me, 201?
Hi, my name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. How are you? Thanks for tuning in tonight. What do you have for us here tonight?
I'm good. So, Jennifer, how do you feel about the educational standards being pushed on children in New Jersey?
Hi, thank you, Nancy.
Nancy,
I'm assuming you're asking about maybe some of the LGBT curriculum, right? Is that what you're referring to when it comes to some curriculum that's been implemented recently in our public school? Is that what you're referring to, or are you talking about other curriculum?
Yes, that curriculum and, in general, the other standards.
Okay. Well, Nancy, we appreciate the phone call, and stay on the line. Keep listening in here. And, Jen, what do you have to say?
Hi. Thanks, Nancy. That's a great question. I think, first of all, I don't believe that we should be pushing any sex education to our children, specifically five-year-olds. I think it's a little bit ridiculous, and it goes against you know, parental rights. So I think we need to leave that out. And, you know, since the fact that our rates of reading or arithmetic are just dropping ridiculously, we just need to focus on getting that back up and stop talking about sex to children. I also believe that, you know, if I were to get in, we need to talk about educational reform. Start teaching our kids about knowing their rights. Stop the indoctrination. Let parents do the parenting and let government stay in their place. They don't need to be parenting our children. So that's a great question. Thank you for that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you know, folks, again, 818-572-8032, call in. Love to hear from you. We still got some callers on the line here. Let's keep going here. Again, 908 area code. Again, folks, keep it respectful. keep it brief. Just let us know your name, where you're calling from, and what you have for us here. 908, you're on the air here with Politica Direct with Fernanda Uribe and Assembly candidate Jim McCarr. 908, what do you got for me tonight?
Hi, how are you? My name is Laura, and I'm calling in from Cranford, New Jersey. I want to know what your mission in running. I want to know what your mission in running for Assembly is. Like, what are you going to do for me that's going to make me want to vote for you?
Jen, did you hear the question?
Hi, thank you so much. Yes, I got it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that question. So the whole thing where I got started into this political realm was because of education, and I think we need to there's a lot of reform there, and there's a lot of opportunity there. So my goal was, let's stop teaching these kids in schools how, you know, horrible America was. Let's start teaching them how great it was. Let's start just plainly teaching them the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of history with this country, and, you know, we don't talk about, you know, how our founding fathers were very spiritual and God-fearing men. Let's talk about how, you know, they fought, you know, very hard to, you know, keep out other countries. Or let's talk about our rights in the Constitution. Let's be more, you know, competitive with other countries in, you know, like in sciences and things like that. I think our education needs a lot of reform. We just need, like I said before, we need to stop, you know, putting in, you know, the indoctrination that's out there, and keep our kids focused on what's going to make them successful in the future.
Well, again, great answer there. We have time for one more phone call here. I see 732. Again, please keep it respectful. Please keep it brief. And just let me know what your name, where you're calling from. And 732, you're on live with Politically Direct with Fernanda Uribe and Assembly candidates Jen McCarr. 732, what do you got for me tonight?
Jen, my name's Amy. I actually live in Watchung, so I'm one of your constituents. I just had a quick question. I really feel like life is our best teacher, and I was just wondering what life experience you've had that you feel has prepared you for politics.
Amy, thank you for the question. I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Make sure you keep tuning in, okay? I appreciate it.
Thank you, Amy, and I'm so happy one of my constituents called in. That's really great. So one life experience, that's a great question. I actually don't believe that life is just one experience. I'm a believer that God prepares us with a series of situations, and that develops who we are and who we become, our character, our integrity. So I couldn't really touch up on one specific experience. I can talk about the experience of, you know, how my parents bravely came to this country, you know, again, I'll say it legally. And, you know, they fought hard and they, you know, built the American dream. And a lot of our, you know, parents did the same. So I think that that experience and learning from them and following their footsteps of hard work, doing the right thing, and, you know, doing to others what you would want done to yourself, keeping God ahead. And I think those are all experiences that I can follow. And I just believe that those are just it's a big question, but at the same time, I feel like it's not just one thing that molds us. Thank you for that question.
Oh, absolutely. And Amy, again, we appreciate you tuning in here. And again, to all our callers, Amy and everyone else, thank you for tuning in here. Again, we hope you keep listening in every week here on Politically Direct. And we certainly appreciate you tuning in tonight. We still got a couple calls, but let's get back to – I'll get some calls in a moment. But, folks, I got to get back to the candidate. I want to give her as much time as I can. Jen, you know, certainly very different dynamics here. When it comes to voting, we know that last year, because of the pandemic, you know, there are people in New Jersey that were not a fan of voting by mail. I think we all know what that produces or what
yeah.
it produced. The governor did indicate that coming up on June 8th, in-person voting would resume. I think that's the right way to go about it. Obviously, you know, we know what happened last year, and we can't do anything about it now. But, you know, moving forward, I think that some in Trenton would argue that voting by mail is still a legitimate process. And I understand for people that, let's say, you know, there are certain disabilities or other discrepancies that maybe merit someone voting by mail because they can't physically get to a polling place. But it just seems like that is ripe for fraud. I think we saw it last summer. Again, not engaging conspiracy theories, folks, but let's talk real here on the show. Voting by mail still concerns me. And is that something, again, as you know, it sounds like you're very conservative like myself. It just sounds like I'm not trying to oppress anyone. I'm not trying to keep anyone from voting. But it just seems like voting by mail is as ripe for fraud as, like, I don't know, just an avocado when you go to the market.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it outright. I'm just going to say this very clearly. Voting by mail is wrong. And I think that's it. There's no, I don't have anything to say about it, you know, preventing from people, you know, going in to vote. You can do everything else. You can go to your doctor. You can go to the beach. You can do whatever. You can go in and vote in person. That's it.
I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you. I amen to that because it's not complicated. And I understand that, you know, we've had voting by mail for some time for certain discrepancies, right? I mean, my grandmother who passed last summer at the age of 101, you know, she obviously leading up to these years, you know, she was able to vote by mail. You know, physically her able to go to a polling place was difficult. And I understand that. And I think those are variables we take into consideration. But, you know, it just seems like last summer, vote by mail was just creating this hysteria. And we all know that in New Jersey, every county machine, you know, I don't mean the mechanism. I mean the county machine in terms of the institution politically. I mean, they were salivating at this. And you saw numbers and, you know, you saw the way it affected turnout. Jen, you know, you've been absolutely amazing. Folks, it's 10:02 here on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. Jen, you've been great to be on the air with me for as long as you have been. I'm sure it's been a long day.
Thank you.
You still got some, you know, obviously celebratory things to enjoy this weekend. But, again, before I let you go, I'm going to give you the floor, young lady. What makes Jen McCarr, again, the best choice for the New Jersey State Assembly in the 21st Legislative District leading up to primary day on June 8th?
I believe my conviction to do the right thing. I think truthfulness and honesty and the idea of public service are all characteristics that I hold. And that's why I will be the absolute best choice for our constituents this coming primary election.
Okay. Folks, we'll leave it right there. Again, for everyone in the 21st Legislative District, do give Jen McCarr a look, and hopefully she's earned your vote tonight, coming on the program and really answering what I feel are some tough but fair questions. Is that fair to say, Jen?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate being on here, and this is such a wonderful show, and I think you're doing a great service.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Well, make sure you tell Insider NJ that, because sometimes I piss off my bosses by pissing off a lot of liberals and progressives in New Jersey with the show. But again, Jen, you know, thank you for your time, and certainly I want to wish you the best of luck again in your campaign. June 8th will be right here before you know it, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly, like I said, hey, give Jen McCarr a look and give her your vote, because she's someone that really you can tell, you can hear the sincerity in her voice. You can hear that she cares. And you know what? I don't ever like to play the identity politics card, but diversity is a good thing. And if we have some diversity on the state assembly, especially on the Republican side, that's a good thing. So, you know, give her a look, Google her, check her out on social media. And Jen, again, do me a favor. Please tell everyone you know how much you're a fan of Politically Direct with Fernanda Uribe right here via Insider NJ.
It is the best show. Everyone needs to be on Politically Direct.
Well, I appreciate that. So, Jen, best of luck to you. Good luck this weekend, obviously, making dinner and certainly the family food. Hopefully it doesn't get testy. You know, don't talk politics. Talk something else, okay? But, again, best of luck to you. And, again, thanks to all our callers tonight for calling in. You're all great, and we appreciate the support here on the show. Jen, God bless you. We'll talk to you again soon here on Politically Direct.
Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much. All right, folks, great interview tonight here with Assembly candidate Jen McCarr, again, out of the 21st Legislative District here on Blog Talk Radio. And, folks, again, these are the exclusives that I'll bring you And I'll continue bringing you every single week here on the show because no one's doing a podcast like this. And we, again, and I'm proud to be doing that since January 2018. So if you missed any part of the broadcast, you're just tuning in now. Folks, again, don't sweat it. The podcast and the episode will be available just within a few minutes right after we go off the air live here tonight. And you can listen to it at www.insidernj.com/podcasts. And, you know, as I said before, these are the exclusives that I bring you that nobody else is. And if you don't believe me, check out the archives and you'll see it for yourself. You, again, you don't have to take my word for it. Once again, go to www.insidernj.com/podcasts. Again, that's podcast. It's plural with an S. And, you know, you'll see that the guests I get you, you're not hearing anywhere else, folks, in New Jersey. So definitely do tune in. As a reminder, folks, don't forget to write to the show if you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic or what you think about the show. Did you like it? What don't you like? Tell me. Write to me. I love getting emails, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj. And also check out yours truly on Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. I love to piss off liberals and progressives and the social justice clowns and the woke fools and the compassion mongers that make it so easy for me to pick on them because they just give me so much ammunition. But you'll see my Instagram stories. You know what I'm talking about when you do go on Instagram. Also, folks, hit me up on Twitter at NoFilterUribe. That's at NoFilterUribe. And always remember to like Politically Direct on Facebook. And as a reminder, folks, do check out InsiderNJ.com for the best journalism, again, in the state of New Jersey. Trust me, you will like what you read. You'll see the best columns, the best scoops, the best info about what's going on in Jersey politics, especially in an election year. Hey, no one's covering election 2021 like Insider NJ. Once you go on the upper right-hand corner, folks, you'll see the subscribe button. Click on that, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. So once you do, you'll get that in your email every morning. Great columns from our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro. Again, great journalist, great writer. Don't really care for his views, doesn't care for me, but I respect them. I think that's all that matters really in this sort of team effort. Same thing, folks. You know, Fred Snowflake, an amazing journalist. I love having him on the show. Actually, he'll be on soon again, as well as Alan Steinberg, who's a regular here on the show every month. So you definitely want to tune in for those episodes. Also, folks, Jay Lasseter, not a fan of his personally, you know, and I know he doesn't like me whatsoever, but a hell of a writer and a guy who really is representing the LGBT community in New Jersey without a distinction and really being a voice for them. So again, you know, I may not like him personally, but man, he's a hell of a journalist. He's a hell of an advocate, and I respect the guy. So again, tune into his columns there. And again, all the other great contributors at www.insidernj.com. Folks, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's our show for this week here. Again, closing out April strong with great traffic here and great guests. You do want to tune in, folks, again, every single week live on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the best analysis and commentary about what's going on in New Jersey politics. You can always depend on me right here on InsiderNJ.com/podcasts. And remember, folks, it's real. It's here. It's politically direct. Good night, Cranford, New Jersey. All the good people down in Cranford, tuning in tonight here on the show. God bless you. Love you all for supporting the podcast and listening in here this evening. Again, ladies and gentlemen, take care. Enjoy the weekend. Again, we'll come to you next week. It will be May. Weather will be a little bit warmer, God willing. And we're going strong here, folks. 3 years and counting. Always remember, it's the three-time award-winning Politically Direct here on Blog Talk Radio. I am New Jersey's premier journalist and top 100 Latino via the Latino Spirit Online magazine, Fernando Uribe, saying so long. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.